ignore it. Because it surely is not going to happen that way if he puts it on the schedule. You know, we have a saying that if you have to swallow a frog, do it quickly. So I'll preach another time and then I'll sit down and we'll be done. So I won't have to worry about this anymore. However, I do want to impress upon you the greatness of our God, because today I am the envy of every chicken in the state of Ohio. Because God has uniquely created preachers that we can lay not only one egg a day, but today I can lay two eggs. And so I laid an egg this morning when I preached. I'll lay another egg now. Usually I only lay eggs on Sunday. So I get to I'll get up to a dozen this week. So I'm grateful and thankful to get to. Oh, they told me that you like to play dodgeball with these. Isaiah chapter 60 is our verse for the rally. So if you'll be turning to Isaiah chapter 60, I'll turn my phone off. There we go. Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, the kings to your brightness. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. You shall see and become radiant, as your heart shall swell with joy, because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Let's pray. O Lord God in heaven, Father, you have blessed us to live in such a time as this. Father, the fulfillment of prophecy, the fulfillment in the bride of Christ, the fulfillment of your people. Father, the fulfillment, Father, and help us to know who we are. God, to believe your word, to trust in your word, and to step out in faith on your word. In the name of Jesus I pray, amen. We talked this morning that things in Isaiah chapter 60 are beginning to look up. See, up till now, you know, the prophet's kind of been gloom and doom, you know, for about five chapters before. And suddenly, the bright and morning star shows up. And when the bright and morning star shows up, everything starts to look up. Now, you know, it wasn't just the bright and morning star himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talks about a ministry that we've been given. It is the ministry of light. This light has come upon you. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. the Lord will arise over you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, don't lose heart. We've renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That manifestation of the truth is not a supernatural manifestation. That manifestation of the truth is shown in our integrity and in our character. It is shown in the transformation as people can see the light, as they can see our honesty and our transparency. But even if this gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, the prince and power of the air, has blinded, who don't believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. We don't preach ourselves. But Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as bond servants. Bond servants for Jesus' sake. It's the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness. Listen, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That the excellence of the power might be of God and not of us. Because we're hard pressed on every side. Yeah, not crushed, perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. So that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our bodies, and how we conduct ourselves in that process, see, is the manifestation. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. This is the message. That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So, should there be any darkness in us? Should there be any circumstance that you know, clouds brings shade or shadow? James 1:17 says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Then, brethren, there should be no variation or shadow of turning in our character. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything else is from the evil one. Your world is dark, safe, and secure. Bathed in warm liquid, cushioned from shock, you do nothing for yourself. You are fed on demand. You have every assurance that a being larger than yourself is seeing to all your needs. It sounds like some of your husbands, doesn't it, ladies? Your life consists of waiting. Not real sure what you're waiting for. Any change seems far away and scary. One day it happens. You suddenly feel a tug. The walls are falling in on you. Your body's bent double. Your arms are twisted and wrenched. Your legs are jerking out of control. You're falling. Falling upside down. And for the first time in your life, you feel pain. More pressure than you have ever felt. Your head, it feels like, is being pressed flat. The pain is intense. You're being pushed by an invisible force harder and harder. You can hardly breathe as you're pushed harder and harder into a dark tunnel. And you are sure that your life is over as the pressure increases and the chaos rises to a crashing crescendo. You see a blinding light and rough hands grab you and pull at you and a painful slap. And congratulations, you were just born. Anybody here remember that? It's funny, isn't it? How God has shielded us from that. It would have been hard to have the will to press on, wouldn't it? I mean, that's... I'll tell you what. Mom remembers. Mom remembers, and she presses on. Jesus remembers you being born of God with His blood. He will go through anything for you. He bore you from His body. Arise and shine. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life and the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. How? In the flesh. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God's best means of communicating Himself was through the flesh. He had communicated through the Word. Jesus came to communicate through the flesh. Now, that didn't take away from the Word, but understand that this is the vehicle that God chose to use. And, you know, I mean, basic biology says like produces like. Canaries produce canaries. Chimpanzees produce chimpanzees. Well, what do you think? What do you think Jesus produces? You think there's any correlation between the Word becoming flesh and us being transformed into that same image from glory to glory? You think there's any communication that should be going on, any path that should be lighted through, you see, our physical bodies, the manifestation of Jesus on the earth? We have this treasure in jars of clay. Breakable. You know those brick-colored flower pots you have around the house? Ever drop one of those? They break. They break pretty easy. In 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, well, we've renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handing in the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know how careful we need to be? This valuable treasure in these frail pots. Every good, every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Abstain, King James says, from the very appearance of evil. Now you should know that every Christian in the eyes of the world, and this is intentional, every Christian in the eyes of the world is guilty until proven innocent. If it even looks a bit shady, if there is even any kind of a question at all, we need to avoid the pit. That's just the way it is. I don't understand. It's just the way it is. There's a real darkness and a real danger to the Christian and to those who might be looking at us to light the way, if in any way we practice in private what we're against in public. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, and everything else is from the devil. Because you practice in private what you condemn in public, what you're saying is that God don't know. Or that God don't care. I'm telling you, He knows. And I'm telling you, He cares. And what we're saying, if we practice things in private that we condemn in public, see, we're saying that God's not righteous somehow, that He's not holy. Because we are ambassadors. We are His representation. We are the flesh that manifests to creation perfection. The very nature and image of God. So, we better be holy, right? It's going to sound like a big responsibility, doesn't it? Then, a lot of people think that Christian life is about becoming more holy. Sinning less and doing more righteous acts. The truth is that that is flat out ridiculous. Nobody can become more holy any more than you can become less holy. Holiness isn't something that can be measured on a scale. You're either holy or you're not. I remember reading somewhere, "Be ye holy, as I am holy." Holiness, by its very definition, means to be absolutely perfect. Set apart. Other than. You can't be those things partially. Nothing is kind of perfect or kind of pure. Now, if you were to have a bottle of water that was 99% pure water and 1% lead, you're probably from Flint, but you couldn't label it pure water, could you? No, it wouldn't be pure water. Because pure means 100%. So any fraction of a percent taints the purity. It's the same with holiness. We can't become more holy. What do we think we're doing? We start out with zero holiness and work our way up. I mean, you're 18% today? 40% holy? And then when do I get to be 51%? Does that make me holy? The best I could hope for is 99.9. But that's what we're doing when we try to measure holiness on a scale like that. We turn salvation and spiritual maturity into a system of works all over again. And we reject faith and light and make it about performance. The truth of the matter is, Jesus has made us absolutely holy. His standard is who He has made us to be. His standard is not how much our good outweighs our bad. Now listen, our actions will become less and less sinful and more righteous as we mature in who we are in Christ. But don't fall for that old trap of thinking that we're earning something or growing in something based on our own effort. We are merely discovering who Christ has made us to be. That is light. See, that is acknowledgement. That is the eyes of our understanding being opened. That is transparency in everything that we do. And when it's transparency, what does light do? Light shines through the window. Light shines through that transparency. See, I need to be transparent in let my yes be yes and my no be no. Yes, a little boy had a best marble collection on the block. And little girl from down the street said she would give him all of her candy for all of his marbles. He thought about it for a little bit. And he made the deal. Except for the one favorite marble that he took out and hid it. So that night, when he lay in the bed, he wondered if she had given him all the candy. My lack of transparency will breed a distrust of God. No light bending, no light diffusing, no light blocking, no light sabers, no light twisting, no light deflecting, no smoke and mirrors, no Bud Light, and no black light. Keep that conduit open. Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, yesterday, today, and forevermore. Not just on the day that I made that proclamation when I had my sins washed away and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. How much more today should I make Him Lord? How much more today should that light shine? See? I'm to be transformed, you see that process, from glory to glory. Do things ever get distorted, diffused, bent, blinded, twisted to my own agenda, using Jesus and the Bible as a cloak? Have I ever decided I'm going to do something and then I'm gonna find the. I'm gonna find a way to justify it. Sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm to the age where. I'm starting to feel God's call to Florida. See, and God's calling me to a warm weather climate. See? Isn't it funny how He does that to? Well, I mean, not only older preachers, but no, you see what I mean? See, yeah, there's some real. You don't think there's some danger in that? Ask Achan. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. I'm convinced that man, God is a merciful God, and He is willing to forgive a lot of things. But, you know, you go lying and mocking Him, it just seems to me like He ain't got much tolerance for that. See? I want to be as transparent as I can be. I think we're called to be transparent. You see, you can't just sound holy. The proof is in the pudding. See? preacher being interviewed, and he was asked his favorite part of the Bible. He said, the parables. And he said, which one? He said, the Good Samaritan. They said, well, can you tell us about it? And he said, oh, sure. He said, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked him. He had no money until he met the Queen of Sheba. She gave him 1,000 talents of gold and 1,000 changes of raiment. He got into a chariot, drove furiously, drove under a big juniper tree, got his hair caught in a limb, hung there for many days. Ravens brought him water to drink, and he ate 5,000 loaves and 2 fishes. While he was sleeping, his wife Delilah came along and cut his hair, and he fell on stony ground. And as he started out, it began to rain. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. He hid in a cave and ate locusts and wild honey. He met a servant and he said, come, let's have supper together. And he said, no, I will not. I married a wife and I can't come. The servant went out into the highway and hedges and compelled her to come in. After supper, he went for a walk. He looked up on the wall, saw Queen Jezebel sitting high up in the window. He said, throw her down. And he threw her down. And he said, throw her down again. And he threw her down again. And he said, throw her down again. And he threw her down 70 times, 7 times. And the fragments that remained, they picked up 12 baskets full besides women and children. And then they asked, whose wife will she be in the judgment? Now, that's quite a distortion, isn't it? But you tell me how much worse it is if we distort the very image of God. You think He don't know? You think He don't care? You think He ain't righteous? Listen, Moses couldn't keep the glory from fading. And he was embarrassed enough to cover it up. Hebrews 9:14 says, How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? How much more? How much more? How much more? How much more when He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him? How much more? How much more, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. How much more? After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication and has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. Again, they said, Hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all of you, His servants, and those who fear Him, both great and small. And I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, and the sound of many waters, mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, Right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And he said to me, See, but you don't do that. I'm your fellow servant. And of your brethren, who had the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. How much more? Till there is no more.